Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. There will be a quarterly congregational business meeting directly following this worship service, and everyone is invited to attend that meeting. Our brother Russell Goodman will be leading our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and of course, everyone is invited to attend that service and to join in it. At the 3 p.m. discipleship class, Brother Greg Tomlinson will continue teaching the series on Christian money management. And at the 4 p.m. class today, Brother Bill Despain will continue the series on America's Christian heritage. These classes are very instructive for adults and young people alike. America's Christian heritage, for instance, can be a real eye-opener to those who have only been exposed to the secularist's revised view of history, having excised God from the public discourse. At our 5 p.m. service today, we will be pleased to hear from missionaries David and Denise Rhodes, Christ's ambassadors to Papua New Guinea. The ladies will meet here tomorrow night, Monday, for Bible study. At our Wednesday evening prayer service, brothers Victor Laurel and Greg Tomlinson we'll continue presenting Ken Ham's series, Answers in Genesis, followed by discussion on creation and the theory of evolution. If you miss attending a service or didn't hear it live on the radio or internet, you can hear it later on the internet by going to BethelMorganHill.org and click on to the word sermons, and then click on to the particular morning or evening sermon you would like to hear going back to October. You want to hear the live broadcast as it goes over the internet, you click on live rather than sermons. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from 1 Chronicles 29, verses 12 and 13. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship with hymn number 62, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 154, For God So Loved the World. Rise as we sing hymn number 450, Isn't the Love of Jesus Something Wonderful?
Standing for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence in the name of Jesus, our High Priest. And first and most, We want, O Father, to praise your name. We read in Psalm 150 in verse 6, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And Lord, in one voice and in one heart, we want to say thank you for sending Jesus into our life. And Father, also we want to say thank you that we have the opportunity to expand the gospel by being a living witness of thy word. Lord, as a church body, we do have missionaries in different parts of the world, in Spain, in Siberia, right here in our own hometown with a crisis center. Then, Father, we have in San Jose with the sport ministry, in Argentina with the drug addict people, and in the racing on the tracks with Daniel Lacey. Thank you, Father, that you allow us to have a part in somebody else's life so that they too may preach Christ Jesus to others. And tonight, Lord, we going to receive the visit of David and Denise Rhodes, missionaries to Papua New Guinea. Help us to listen and to see what you have told them to do as they plan to preach the gospel at New Guinea. Lord, we are grateful, extremely grateful, that not only you save us, but you protect us. And as a nation, Father, you have protected us for a long time. You have given us the power to stand in the principles of God and the Judeo-Christian faith. And Father, we pray for our president in these moments of crisis. The Bible says, if it's possible for you, be at peace with all men. Could it be, Father, that something can be found to be at peace with Iraq? I don't know. But let the president know that we pray for him. And we pray for those who live in Iraq. There must be some Christians there. In a word, nobody wins. And people die. And so, Father, as a pastor, I have no other duty than to pray that our president may think carefully before he trigger the moment of war. Protect our men and protect the people of Iraq who are suffering already under their dictator. Oh God, have your way. May men and American please you and not just an evil desire. Lord, we are grateful that we have elderly people, and some of them are shut in. And I remember our good friend Loretta Forrest. We miss her for 3 or 4 months as she injured herself in home and now is in care with her daughter. Bless her and touch her life in a very special way. Lord, we are thankful that some of the people got sick, Mildred, Mary, Brother Plika, myself, but you are still a God who take care of us, and we are grateful. Yes, we take medicine. Yes, we go to the doctor, but the final decision is yours. And so, Father, thank you for alleviating our life and giving us strength. And now, Lord, as a pastor also, I'm thankful for the support that this church received from your people. The nation is in crisis. Some of our families are without work. But we never have to borrow a penny to carry the ministry. You have provided through the love of your people. And there is no greater joy for a pastor than to be a pastor of a church that loves the Lord. Father, bless the offering, bless the giver, bless our time together, not only for those who are here in the auditorium, but for the thousands of people who listen over radio and over the internet today, the first time that we broadcast directly from our place. May your name be honored, because we ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated, please.
Justified by faith in Christ alone. wash my sin away. Oh, what liberty!
Choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 723. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man can take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you for demonstrating your love for us by sending your Son, who died for us while we were yet sinners. Through all of our imperfections, Father, may we be like the church in Philadelphia, before whom the Lord set an open door, having a little strength and having kept his word. We pray for that strength, Father, to keep the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ and abide in his word. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to teach on the church in Philadelphia. We pray that you would heal him of his physical affliction, Father, and give him a strong voice. Bless his exposition of your word, we pray, and give us understanding and wisdom, so that we may order our lives in a manner pleasing to you. We also pray for those listening on the radio and internet who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that they would come to believe the greatest truth man can come to know, and that's to be reconciled to you through him, and finally know the true meaning of peace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Just before I bring the exposition of God's Word, I want to thank the Lord for giving Brother Greg Tomlinson a strategic mind to figure out the system. And today is the first time that we broadcast from our network. We have a network now with satellite ourselves. And this is the first time that we broadcast directly into the internet. And we have hundreds of friends across America and Italy and Japan who listen. And I want them to remember and pray for Greg Tomlinson, who worked during the week. He emailed two or three times to me, said, I cannot get it yet. I said, how come? What's your mind? And finally, he got it through. Also, I want to thank the deacons for changing the system. And I don't have to turn the computer
come, take lunch, and go back and see the screen again. Everything flashes at a speed that you can't believe it. You just move your eyes and the screen moves. And again, deacons, thank you for that expenditure in producing with it satellite our work. As you know, I work a lot in the Library of the Congress to get information for you so that we get data and then we compare that to the scripture. I also want to say that tonight, for a long time, we don't have a missionary in Papua New Guinea. At the beginning of this church, we have Brother Eckhart and Dorothy, who was a mechanic. And he works like crazy in Papua New Guinea. This was the only church that allowed him to preach because he was not an official preacher. But he was a preacher. He could carry his Bible and help the people in Papua New Guinea. You do not understand the world until you see Papua New Guinea, how primitive it is. And so a young man is coming in. I talked to his pastor in Santa Maria in the south, and he's coming in. He's an American, David, and Denise, his wife, and her two children will come tonight to speak to us what the Lord told him to do in Papua New Guinea. Please turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We are in the study of a series of passages of the scripture that together they teach about the seven churches in Asia Minor, today Turkey. And some of the cities are still there. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1, we learn about a church of Ephesus, located at the city of Ephesus, and was a well-doing church, a very theological church. But God counseled that church and says, go back to square one because you lost your love for me. For man, it's like this. When you were a boyfriend, you opened the door of the car. Now you are 20 years married, you do not open the door anymore. All right? And so that's what God wants us to do. Wants to love him with the same intensity, with the same love that we did when we found him. And he wants us to be constant in that fashion. Revelation 2:8, we found the church of Smyrna, and was a persecuted church and suffering church. And God said to that church, keep on being faithful. Keep on being faithful. I was talking to a pastor on Friday, and he said, Pastor, our church is about 150 people, and I would like to have 500 by the end of the year. So I remind you of 1 Corinthians 4:2, who said, they require of an steward to be found faithful. Doesn't matter if maybe you have 100 if you are faithful. That's what God required. And that's what God said to Smyrna. Then in chapter 2 of Revelation, in verse 12, you have the church of Pergamon, an indulge church. Yes, they have a lot of programs, they have a choir, and they have all the things of a church, but they mix it with the things of the world. And God said to that church, go by the book. Do not compromise. In chapter 2 and in verse 18, you have the church of Thyatira. And that was a pagan church. A church that liked to mingle with the world and have all kinds of things that do not belong to Christianity. And God again said to that church, stay on course. Don't move to the left. Don't move to the right. Last Sunday, we saw the church of Sardis. What a sad preaching was last Sunday. I had to preach on a church that God said, you are dead. You know, a lot of you, sometimes when you visit other churches and so on, you tell me that that church is dead. But here is a church that God said, the church is dead. And the counsel that we learn from that church is that there were some believers in that church. And God never told those believers, leave that the church. God said to those believers, wake up and stand up for the things of God. Well, you got your Bible, and I will mention the page number from this Bible, which is in the pew. So those who listen and have our Bible, and we just shipped 10 last week, and you can request a Bible free of charge to you. And it's a nice Bible, and it's a King James Version. You don't have to worry about if the translation is right or wrong. And then we'll help you, because I go faster on the preaching. Some people said that they don't have time to look in the scripture. And one of the things I like as a pastor is that you look in the scripture, as I mentioned, so that you see it. So the numbers that I mentioned are from this Bible, which is in the pew. Now, if you go to chapter 3 of Revelation, and in verse 7, the Bible says there is a new church. If you look on it, in the introduction, we have to whom the letter was addressed. Again, the Bible said to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. If you go to chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible explained that angel business. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angel of the seven churches. And so are the pastors. They were not celestial bodies guiding the church. They were pastors, because the word angel is the word messenger. And so the letter is addressed to the pastor. Now, a lot of people want to be a pastor, and I want to give you the news in this sermon that this church has a baby pastor in process. Brother Greg Tomlinson was accepted by the Westminster Seminary to go in. And so this pastor is just flying in sky number 9, another engineer into the Word of God. And so I'm just so wonderful. And I know he was accepted because I made a mistake in signing his application. I wrote beautiful letters about him and his family and so on. And at the end of the letter, it was a tricky question. They said, you would not like this man to be in the seminary. So I checked. You would not like. So the president of the seminary called me. He said, you wrote such a beautiful letter about this man and his family, and I'm sure that you made a mistake. I said, well, you put a tricky question. This was not a test. It was an application. And so the next day, our brother received the welcome to the seminary. So the pastor is a great thing, but you are responsible for everything you said, everything you do. God do not hold you responsible, nor hold the deacon responsible. God hold the pastor responsible. All right, that's what I think a pastor should be over 40 years old when he pastored a church. Now, where is the church? Look in verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7, to the church in Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia is not United States of America in the East Coast. It's talking about Asia Minor, about 70 miles from Ephesus north and going east. And the church in the city of Philadelphia, was in the center of the Greek civilization. And Philadelphia, just to let you have an idea, remained an independent Christian church. And the city remained an independent Christian city until the 14th century, when the Turks took over and made Asia Minor Turkey. Philadelphia remained standing as a Christian center of our civilization. This church has a lot of things to do with that. Now, who is the speaker? The Bible doesn't give a name, but give you some characteristics. Let's look on it. Verse 7, he said, right, the things said he that is holy, he that is true, and he that has the key of David. Three things. To each church, Jesus introduced himself in a different way. To this church, he introduced himself by three characteristics. Can we look on it? He said, he that is holy. If you move your Bible to Isaiah chapter 6, page 413. 413, Isaiah chapter 6. May I read for you verses 1 to 3 and you will see there who really is holy. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, page 413. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Look in verse 3. And one cried one another and said, Holy, holy, holy. And now look at now. Is the Lord. You see that word Lord in capital in the King James? Means holy, holy, holy is Jehovah. And Jesus introduced himself in Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 7. And said, these things said he that is holy. That's another way to say Jehovah is speaking. Now also he said, these things said he that is true. Now then you have to go to John Gospel chapter 14. And you know what John Gospel is in the Bible. Chapter 14 of John Gospel, page 632 and or 33. And look in verse 6, John Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 6. These things said he that is true. Look at what the Bible says. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am what? The truth. Now also, if you are in John 14, move your Bible just one page more, John 17. And look in verse 17, what the Bible says. In verse 17, Jesus is praying in John 17. And in verse 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And so here we have the speaker introduce himself as Jehovah, and now the speaker introduced himself as the living word. But then he said also in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, he had the keys of David that he opened, he said, and no man shut it, and shut it, and no man opened. What did he mean? Well, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 22, page 420. Isaiah chapter 22 and verse 22. And you will see that he is fulfilling here the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 22, verse 22, page 420. And he is, remember what Jesus said, he had the key of David. And look at what the scripture said in Isaiah 22:22. And the key of the house of David, this is a prophecy about the Messiah, will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. Ladies and gentlemen, the speaker is nothing less than God himself. The God himself. The speaker to the church of Philadelphia is nothing less than God himself. He is holy, holy, holy. He is the living word. And he is the one who has the key to save you or the key to send you to hell. Do you saw that? When he open, and when he close. There is no bargain out of court with God. How serious is the scripture? Now, this is the introduction to the Church of Philadelphia. I told Brother Plika that there is, when we were praying in my office prior to the service, that there is no greater joy for me than to preach on this church. This is the church that Christ loved. This is the church that we should be. So in each church, I give you four things to look on it. There were commendations, good words. There were condemnations, their mistakes. There were words of counsel and then words of challenge. So we do the same thing. Look for the commendation. Let's go to back to Revelation chapter 3. Here's a commendation of the church. God said in verse 8, Revelation 3, 8, I know your deeds. You see it? Behold, he said, I know thy works. Oh, I know your deeds. What are the works of the church? Well, put one hand here and go to 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, page 679. 1 Corinthians 16, the very last chapter. And look upon 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. And look at what Paul says. He says to the church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 16, 9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. And God said to the church of Philadelphia, I know your deeds. I want to tell you this. Each time a door is open for ministry, God opened the door. It's not Pastor Otero. It's not the deacons of the church. It's not that we are lucky. God opened the doors. And when God opened the doors, we better use it. God said, I know your deeds. God gave to every pastor a different touch, a different characteristic, a different style, a different gift, so that he has to use it. I never knew I had the gift of radio. After 29 years, I realized I did. And what God does in this church, as soon as I quit radio, God opened the doors of broadcasting. And then God make a trial. And then God make the way out. And today we're on the air across the world. And in this town, and in the next town, and in the next town via radio. I know you did. There are doors of opportunity that God gave to the pastor of the church, and he better use it. And God said to this church, I know your works. Every door I put for you, you use it. Wow. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. I know thy works. And then look at what God said. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. Wow. I know your strength, said God. You have no strength. Well, you remember Hebrews 11? That's the history of those men of faith. Now, how big were those men? How mighty were they? Let's look on it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 34, page 709. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 34, page 709. Talking about those men of faith, the Bible says, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. See, the men of faith, they were not giants. They were just people, that in thee let the Lord use them and use their strength. Somebody maybe listened over the internet, and from time to time I said, we are broadcasting from their cathedral, and they think of our strength and might, but that's wrong. The strength and might comes from the Word of God and the application of that Word. So God said, I know you did, and I know you don't have the strategic mind, you don't have the planning, you don't have the technique, you maybe don't have the resources, you have nothing of yourself. I know that, said God. That's beautiful. God said, I know that. Is it a problem for God that we had no money? No, no problem. No problem. I know your deeds. I know your strength. But look at and go back to Revelation chapter 3 and look at obedience. I know thy works, because I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. I know your obedience and has kept my words. That's different than to say, and you have heard my word. It's good to come to a church where the Bible is preached. And it's good to hear the word of God, because it produces faith. But we'll do nothing for you or for me if we do not obey it. A church can be mighty in their choir and praising God. A church can be mighty in teaching the word of God. But if its members do not keep the word of God, the church has no power. You need to keep the word of God. The word of God needs to be part of your life. You need to look into the word of God and see what the word of God said and obey it, period. No arguments, no excuses, nothing. You read the Bible and you find in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents. That's it. You keep the word of God. You read your Bible and say, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. That's it, man. No argument. I don't care how your wife cooked the enchiladas. You just love your wife, because the Bible says so. Wife, be submissive to your husband. Who? My husband is a domain. I keep saying, you marry him, no me. So you follow him. Help him. Rather than criticizing your husband, help him. Correct him with love in a way that you only know how to do it. That church kept the word. There was no other church on those seven that God said you kept the word. But that church kept the word. Do you remember the book of Samuel? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, page 188. Page 188, 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22. You know, Samuel was a gorgeous, good-looking king. The Bible said that his shoulders was about the people. I always feel that when I go to South America, and I looked like Samuel. When I went to Nicaragua, I have a meeting of pastors, and there were, it was during the war in 1980-81, and there were people with the armies over there, and all the pastors wanted to protect me, but around me, they were just to hear. So my head was a clear shot to those guys. So I told them, you people leave. It's more difficult for them to shut me in this way. Bring my wife first, with I together, and so on. But I tell you, I look all like that, and everybody wanted to come in. That measure, the highest the measure to hear. Now, I understand, that was Samuel. When they selected Samuel, they selected the Hollywood star. I tell you, he was a Hollywood star. Impressive, all right? Impressive. He was impressive. But he has a mind of his own. He has the best prophet, the best counselor, the best secretary of state a man can have, Samuel. Remember Samuel when he was little? He said, Lord, speak, I'm here. He knew obedience. And Samuel met with this gorgeous guy, and Samuel anointed him as king, and Samuel said, now you wait here, because the Philistines are over there, and they are about 10 times your size, but you don't have to worry. The armies of the Lord will fight for you. You just wait here. The only thing we're going to do is a sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, only the high priest can do the sacrifice. And Samuel was at that moment. And Samuel purposely delayed. And Saul said, well, this guy delay, God wants a sacrifice, I do it. I'm the king. And he did the sacrifice. So now in verse 22, Samuel, chapter 15, verse 22, comes. And Samuel said, talking to Saul, how the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. You can do all the ceremonial sacrifices you want, soul, but God doesn't want that. He wants your heart. He wants obedience. Church of God, God wants obedience from all of us. Obedience to His word. They were obedience. And look, go back to Revelation chapter 3, and they were sharp people. They were, the accuracy of the scripture were remarkable. The Bible said in verse 8, I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Thou hast a little strength. God knew their strength, and thou hast kept my word. God knew their obedience, and God knew that they were sharp, and has no deny. Look at, and had no deny my name. Had no deny my name. Can you move your Bible to Acts chapter 4? So important. Acts chapter 4, page 641. Acts chapter 4. And you know it by heart, but it's good to look on it. In verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12, page 641. Peter is speaking. The first pastor that you had, the first pastor ordained as the one who received the keys of heaven to open the gospel to the world was Peter. That's absolutely correct. And look at what he says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The city of Morgan Hill is an easy city to pastor. I was in Fremont for the National Prayer Day on Friday morning at 7 o'clock. And it's a very hard city to pastor. The largest city in America with Afghanistan people. The largest city with Iranian people. And talking to other people, and there were senators, and there were big guys from, they were asking for a total unity. And I was getting the impression, and I'm glad that the speaker said, total union comes when we read the red words of Jesus in the Bible, and we believe it. Wow, from the government, Secretary of the Presidency speaking, and said, Ashcroft, he reached the Bible, and his committee reached the Bible. Hundreds of senators, they meet with reading the Bible. Let's read the red stuff, they said. You know those Bibles who had the word of Jesus in red? I am sure that those who were Afghanistani people and Iranian people and Arab descent do not like it. And they claim the idea that America, you cannot mix religion and America. Well, you cannot have America without Jesus. Because America was founded in a Judeo-Christian faith. The faith of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. The faith of our Lord Jesus is America. And having Jesus out of America is having no America. And this church, he said, God said, and you were not ashamed of my name. The general who is at the edge of invading Iraq met with his fellow. He said, before leaving, I want you to have a few minutes with me. And the man very respectfully said, well, he said, you are very busy. No, he said, these are the most important minutes of my life before I leave my family. I want you to read the words of Jesus to me. This is our general, a chief, four stars, right in the fields and the deserts of Kuwait. The words of Jesus. And my friend, this church, God said to this church, you have kept my name. Please do not compromise. Yes, we have to be kind. Yes, we have to be loving. Yes, we have to go another mile. But we cannot change salvation. Salvation is not in any other name except in the name of Jesus. There is no other method of salvation than to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And God, in an amazing way, even though we were dead in trespasses and sins, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, he saved us. Woo! If you want to express and have a feeling of the love of God, you have to believe in Jesus. And if you have no belief in Jesus, ask God for that mercy to give you the light to believe in Jesus. The Church of Philadelphia, believe in Jesus. And when I saw that, and I said, Lord, thank you, because I never have denied his name. His name is not for compromise. As President Bush said, the guy has to disarm, period. And everybody goes around. Should he finish 2 weapons, 3 weapons, 4 weapons, 5 weapons? Bush said, has to disarm, period. And I said, Lord, have patience on the president. Because people die in war. This church never compromised the name of Jesus. Now, I wonder if a church said, I will not compromise the name of Jesus, I will keep his word, what God will do for the church? Well, look at here, verse 9. God will protect the church. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jew and are not, some false believers, but to lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. He said, that, don't worry about the enemy. Don't waste your time and fighting an enemy. That's my business. That's Romans 12, remember? Romans 12, verse 18 to 21, it said, if it's possible for you, be at peace with all men. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The only good we have is the gospel. And don't waste your time. God said, don't waste your time in trying to defend yourself. Just keep my name, keep my word, and keep my name going, keep Christianity going, and I take care of the enemies. And if you read the Old Testament, you know how God do it. My next book to write is the book of Judges. Because every judge that comes in the Bible, those Jews, they were outcome by 20 times. And God said, sleep tonight. To the army, sleep tonight. And then wake up in the morning, everybody is dead. He said, what happened? The angel of the Lord have come and made me tremble. We have a little church, tiny little church, but Jesus here. And so it's no longer tiny. So God said, I'm going to protect you. And then God said in verse 10, I know how to care for you. Look in verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. In other words, I will keep you to the very end. That's a try the world. God will try the world at the very end of time. And God said to the Church of Philadelphia, I will be here. You will go to trials. But don't worry, I will do a final judgment on the world, but I will be with you. Oh, I care for you. Remember 1 Peter 5:7? Put all your cares upon him because he cares for you. He cares for you. Well, that's our commendation. Why a qualification? Now, what condemnation? Zero. What is the counsel to this church? Verse 11. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast. Hold on to what you have. And what they have, they keep the word and they keep the name of Jesus. They keep the word and they keep the name of Jesus. Hold fast to that. Hold fast to that. You don't have to know Hebrew and Greek to please the Lord. You have to read God's word obey God's word and keep the name of Jesus. Don't argue. Don't criticize people. Some people come and say, you know, this church is bad. This denomination is bad. Please don't embother me with this. I have no time to talk about anything else except Jesus. Jesus. I hear from the speaker in the national prayer. He said, how I get to senators and representatives who are evil? I know they are evil. So he goes with the Bible with the red marking and said, read this red stuff. And red stuff in national government is bad things, a very private, restricted information. And so what he does, he copied the Bible and pay official papers of the Congress and type in red, which is the official restricted information to senators. And he passed it on. Read. And they read, you know. Put your face, somebody smacks in your face, put the other side. The Beatitudes, blessed are the poor. And the guy, look, reading the secret information. I want to jump from that table and praise the Lord for the wisdom that God gives to some men. See, God, is when I left the meeting with coughing and all kinds of problems, and I had to drive 200 miles to the next place. But I tell you, I left in cloud 999. America is still save. America is still okay. Not because 290,000 men with great techniques and great courage going to defend us. No. It's because some people in the Congress is still looking upon the scripture. That's the secret of America. So God said, hold fast. That is the counsel. And what is the channel? The challenge. The challenge is this. Look. In verse 12, the Christians going to be in the heavenly temple. He that overcometh, remember that's the believers, 1 John 5:5. He that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of God? What is the pillar, outside or inside? Inside the temple. If you go into the Jewish temple, the pillars are inside. If you go into the Greek temple, the pillars are outside. But in the Greek temple, the construct, the pillars are inside. And I want to make you, I want to make you a pillar in the temple of God. I want to put you in the temple of God. And then God said in verse 12, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. And if you read the book of Revelation, my new name is the King of Kings and Glory of Glory. And you know that happened at his coming. Don't tell me the church is gone. Don't tell me the era of the church went by and by. Don't tell me that. Jesus Christ founded, and Jesus Christ is going to bring it to the Father. And he's going to get believers from the Roman Catholic Church and believers from the Baptist Church and believers from the Pentecostal Church. He's going to get believers who love the Lord and kept their name, and he's going to bring it to heaven and stamp. No Bethel Baptist Church, Morning Hill, California. He's going to put in a stamp, Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. Wow. Wow. My good friend of 29 years, Cosme Dye, he used to be the vice president of Family Radio. And when I talked to his wife, she said, Gabriel, Scott was a sick man. He's sick no more. Wow. A wife talking to the pastor said, my husband was a sick man, but now he's in heaven and he is sick no more. Ain't not that believing? Ain't not that fantastic? So God loved this church. You may say, Pastor, hold it. There is no one verse that you read that said that Christ loved the church. Now listen carefully. Remember that we read in verse 8 that the church kept the word and obeyed God? Here is my text that will wrap up the whole commentary. Is in John Gospel, chapter 14, and verse 21. Here's what Jesus says. He that hath my commandments and keep them. Now I want you to know it. John 14:21. He that hath my commandment and keep them. He it is that loved me. And he that loved me shall be loved of my Father. And what Jesus said? And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Philadelphia. Philadelphia. The church that Jesus loved. Philo in Greek means friend. The friendly, the lovely city, Philadelphia. Delphos means brother. So brothers as friends are lovers. The brotherly love city. They have only one thing, supernatural. Supernatural. I was trying to write the report for the church quarterly report that followed this meeting. I was trying to write that, and I said, what are you going to do? Pastor always trying to think and how much accomplishment has been made in the church and so on. And I said, no, I don't want to go into the satanic thread of writing about myself or writing about anybody. I just want to write about Jesus and what we're supposed to do with Jesus. A church, like Philadelphia, stand 14 centuries strong because they get the word and they love Jesus. Do we got the formula? Forget about all the 200 bylaws of our church and 250 bylaws of the other church and the confessions of faith and all. Hey, forget about all of these. Hey, get yourself to keep the word of God and to love Jesus, and the rest will be history. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the beauty of thy word. Thank you, Father, for the counsel of thy word. Thank you, Father, for giving us such a tremendous and wonderful information that the church that you love was a simple church, actually without no strength, maybe smaller than Bethel Baptist Church, but was a powerful church because they kept your word. And they love Jesus. Help us, oh God, to keep your word and to love Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
In these nights of a restless remorse, when the heart and the soul of a nation lay wounded and cold as a corpse, from the grave of the innocent Adam comes a song bringing joy to the sad. Sorrow they've had, oh, the love.
Thank you once again. We follow with a business meeting. If it's possible for you to stay, you will be informed about the business of our church. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Lord, after listening to these men, I'm glad that one day you opened my eyes and removed my dead heart and put a living heart for me. I'm glad that you did a lot in this church in that way. When I see the young people that now believe, and I saw them born with a dead soul, I see the miracle of salvation, and I'm glad you did. Father, I'm glad that this church zero in on Jesus and target on people so that they may know him. Oh God, help us not to move from that target away. Help us to have a mind and a heart for people, regardless the church they attend, regardless the what denomination they come from. Lord, help us to love those people, to be sure that they love Jesus. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.